shining, it's a lovely day. A perfect morning for a kid to play. But you've got lots of bills to pay. What can you do? You work real hard and the pay's real low. And every hour goes oh so slow. And at the end of the day, there's nowhere to go but home to Avenue Q. You live on Avenue Q. Your friends do too. You are 22 and you live on Avenue Q. You live on Avenue Q. You live on Avenue Q.
Well, it cannot be a better place to be in the world than on Avenue Q. It's hands down one of my favorite musicals of all time. It's a Tony Award winner for Best Musical, Best Score, and Best Book, and is simply a blast. Part flesh, the humans, and part felt, the puppets, Avenue Q is just a wonderful laugh-out-loud musical. In it, we meet Princeton, a recent college grad who moves into a shabby apartment all the way out on Avenue Q. There he meets Kate, the girl next door, Rod, a Republican, Trekkie, an internet sexpert, Lucy the slut, for obvious reasons, and Gary Coleman, as well as many other colorful types who help Princeton discover his life's purpose. Avenue Q is now being produced by the Adirondack Theater Festival on stage through August 3rd. Avenue Q at ATF will be headed by artists involved with the Broadway production. Gary Adler, an ATF regular, was the show's original music director. And Jennifer Barnhart is the show's director. She was in the original Broadway cast. Both join us this morning. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Delighted.
Pleasure to have you here. And our good friend, producing artistic director of ATF, Mark Fleischer, also joins us. Thank you very much.
Great to be with you, Joe.
And we'll meet the members of the cast in just a few moments. So, Mark, this is a great idea on your part. I assume you still think it's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. The audiences have really responded to this piece. You know, picking a show that they knew, sales have been brisk, but more importantly, people are having a great time at the theater, laughing and singing along and enjoying a trip to Avenue Q.
I saw this show, Jennifer, when it, I think the week it opened, and I was just blown away by it. And you were in that show. You were in that original production.
Yes, I was in the original Broadway company. Ran with it all 6 years on Broadway.
It seemed like what a ride.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, we hoped the show would do well. But I don't think until the reviews came out that we really had a sense of just what we had on our hands. It was pretty incredible.
Did you think when you were even when you started off Broadway, because the buzz started then. I mean, I got calls from friends of New York saying, "No, you of all people, you have got to go. You have to go see it. You have to stop what you're doing. You have to get tickets and go to the show." So did you have a sense very early on that there was a buzz developing?
We realized that there was somewhat of a buzz when Nathan Lane showed up at the off-Broadway version in our tiny little theater where we were performing, and we thought, well, if Nathan Lane's here, we must be something.
Oh, don't we all think that?
Yes.
No, but I do think that was one of the strengths of the show, is that it appealed to New Yorkers first, and it became the thing to see for among theater-going folk. It wasn't like, oh, you know, bring your out-of-town family to come see this. It's like, right. No, you're a smart, savvy theater-going person, you're a New Yorker, you're sophisticated, you're going to love this show.
And you know, I've seen it in Vegas, and I don't think it worked there. I have seen it. I've seen it other places, and but I'm pleased to hear from you, Mark, that it's doing very, very well in Glens Falls, and you have packed houses, and you're running out of space. That's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have as a producer. So,
yeah, you'll take it.
I'll take it, and
the audiences are responding to the material.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we've seen, and we've seen this sort of great mixed generations in the theater, younger people, older people, who all remember that moment of leaving school and what's next, you know, and yeah, I think it's been a great ride.
So for people who may not understand, and Jennifer, probably you're best equipped to answer this question, it is, there are actors on stage who are holding puppets, but for the most part, the audience is looking at the puppet, right? Is that the design?
Well, it's interesting. It's a bit of a dealer's choice kind of thing, because there are some audience members who say that all they did was watch the puppet. And then there are some audience members who say that they kept finding themselves going back and forth between the puppet and the actor's face, the puppeteer's face. So it really is sort of open to interpretation. It's just all part of the storytelling, and it's, you know, up to each individual audience member to zero in on what they choose.
Having been a part of the production for so long, at what point did you say, okay, I would like to direct this?
I actually had thought about it, I guess, the first time it occurred to me was probably about 3 years into doing the run of it. And I thought, you know, it would be really fun to be able to direct this outside of the confines of doing this and get to fix a couple of little things that I've always wanted to see if it could be done differently, and maybe revisit some earlier spirits of things and different takes on things. And so but I'd never really had an opportunity to do it. I just thought, oh, it'd be nice, and I hope an opportunity comes along, and lo and behold, one did. I was thrilled.
So set up the scene that we're about to hear. This is a scene from fairly early in the show, and we'll hear from this very talented group of actors, and then we'll meet them. But just set up the scene, if you could.
Well, two of the characters who live on Avenue Q are a pair of roommates named Rod and Nikki, who are loosely based, or there have been parallels drawn between Ernie and Bert of Sesame Street fame. Although
right.
there is no connection. Sesame Workshop claims no connection with this piece at all. Neither does Henson Associates or any of the other et cetera, insert legalese here.
Yes.
But basically, loosely based on those characters is this relationship of Rod and Nikki, these two roommates. So, and the scene actually sort of sets itself up.
An afternoon alone with my favorite book, Broadway musicals of the 1940s. No roommate to bother me. How could it get any better than this?
Oh, hi, Rod.
Hi, Nikki.
Oh, hey, Rod. You'll never guess what happened to me on the subway this morning. This guy was smiling at me and talking to me.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. He was being real friendly. And you know, I think he was coming on to me. I think he might have thought I was gay.
So, why are you telling me this? What do I care? I don't care. What'd you have for lunch today?
Well, Rod, there's no need to get all defensive.
I'm not getting defensive. What do I care about some gay guy you met? I am trying to read.
Well, I didn't mean anything by it, Rod. I just think it's something we should be able to talk about.
I do not want to talk about it, Nikki. This conversation is over.
Yeah, but Rod...
Over!
Okay, but just so you know, if you were gay, that'd be okay. I mean, 'cause, hey, I'd like you anyway. Because you see, if it were me, I would feel free to say that I was gay, but I'm not gay.
Nikki, I am trying to read. What?
If you were queer...
Oh, Nikki.
I'd still be here.
Nikki, I'm trying to read this book.
Year after year.
Nikki!
Because you're dear to me. And I know that you...
What?
Would accept me too.
I would.
If I told you today... Hey, guess what? I'm gay, but I'm not gay. I'm happy just being with you.
I'm a choose, pal Joey.
So what should it matter to me? What you do in bed with guys?
Nikki, that is gross!
No, it's not! If you were gay, I'd shout, hooray!
I am not listening.
And here I'd stay.
La 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 la.
Get in your way. You can count on me to always be beside you every day to tell you it's okay. You were just born that way. And as they say, it's in your DNA. You're gay.
I am not gay.
If you were gay.
Oh.
That's great. We just heard from Noah Zachary, who plays Princeton and Rod in the show, and also Rob Morrison, who plays Nikki and Trekkie Monster. And we'll also welcome to the microphones Stacia Newcomb, who plays Lucy and Kate Monster. And Noah, I think I'll ask this question to you first, because you, of the group we have assembled here, this is really your first time playing with puppets for a living.
Yes, it is.
So how's that going?
It was really fun. I loved the show and was a big fan of it from when it originally came out. And yeah, we had 3 weeks to learn it and put it up. And I worked with the best Jedi Master in puppetry. And so... yeah, I worked really hard.
And he also worked his butt off. He was practicing. He would come an hour before we would have rehearsals and get one-on-one time with me, be practicing in the mirror. He really, really dove into it and gave it all he had, and it really yielded incredible results.
Who was your Jedi Master?
Oh, my goodness. Actually, Rick Lyon, who was the original designer and builder of these puppets.
Who had a time on Sesame Street, was part of...
Yes. Actually, all of the original puppeteers who did the show, we'd all done our time on Sesame Street. But I had worked with Rick as a live performer many years before we ever worked on Avenue Q together, and he was the person from whom I learned to be fluent in this style of puppetry, working side by side with him doing live puppet shows.
And can you teach that to an actor? If you have a good actor, can you teach that?
Yes. I mean, it helps if they are in their bodies, if they're connected in their bodies. Dancers often make very good puppeteers. And it's just another means of expressing acting. People will say to me when I've been doing a puppeteering gig for a while, they'll say, "Do you miss acting?" And I say, "Well, no, because I'm acting with a puppet. It's the same thing."
Yeah.
It just, I have this thing on my hand, or, you know, that I'm using to tell my story through. But yes, it helps if there's a kinetic awareness within the performer.
Now, Stacia, you have experience. Your day job is that of a character, a puppet character, right?
Yeah, I play Star on PBS Kids Sprouts The Good Night Show.
So how did you get involved in puppetry?
I saw Avenue Q. I sobbed my face off and thought, I think this is what I want to do. And I went home and I bought a puppet online and I created my own character. And then within months, I had an audition for The Good Night Show. And because I had created this little 4-year-old girl, I went in and the character that they wanted was a 4-year-old boy. So I tailored the voice a bit. And the rest is history. And that's actually how I met Jen.
And so then to do that and then to come and do something like this seems like freeing and just a lot of fun.
Yes. It's also very different because you're used to looking at a monitor and, you know, you only have so much space to move your puppet, and it's very intimate and small and it's right in front of you. So to then put it in your body and be walking around on stage is a whole different world. So there was definitely some adjustments that had to happen for me.
I do want to say, and obviously this is radio, but we do have the puppets here, and I mean that's part of the lure, isn't it? I mean, is part of the attraction, do you think, to audiences is because these puppets are so, yes, they're not based on anything, .. but there is a very identifiable quality to them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's the archetype of the what we now call the Muppet style, but any children's television show that has puppets in it has that style of puppet in it. And in a way, it's really sort of the principal indigenous form of puppetry in this country. You know, in Europe, there's marionettes. In various Asian countries, there are rod puppets and shadow puppets. But here in America, we associate puppetry with this kind of character. And it really sort of breaks down barriers, and people find themselves being sort of open. As soon as people pull out the puppets, you see this look of wonder and delight on even the most jaded theatergoer's face, and it's pretty fun.
The show opened off-Broadway in 2003, won the Tony in 2004 after moving to Broadway, and then closed in 2009, but has been in playing off-Broadway in New York ever since.
Yes, it has returned back off-Broadway at New World Stages.
And Rob, you've been a part of that?
Yeah, I was in the off-Broadway company at New World for about 3.5 years. I left in December of last year.
And, I mean, that seems like a fun gig for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I mean, there are far worse shows that you can do for 3.5 years that are, you know, sob story shows or something. And I was blessed to be able to do such a funny show, such an uplifting show that used very interesting skills for such a long period of time. I also came up as a swing in that company, basically an understudy. So I got to experience what it was like going on for Princeton Rod, what it was like going on for Brian, one of the human characters in the show, right, and also Nikki Trekkie, which I eventually took over for.
We got to hear both Noah and Rob perform just a moment ago, and now we'll get to hear Stacia, and this is a great number in the show called Fine, Fine Line.
There's a fine, fine line between a lover and a friend. And there's a fine, fine line between reality and pretend. And you never know till you reach the top if it was worth the uphill climb. There's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of time. There's a fine, fine line between a fairy tale and a lie. And there's a fine, fine line between your wonderful and goodbye. I guess if someone doesn't love you back, it isn't such a crime, but there's a between together and not. And there's a fine, fine line between what you wanted and what you got. You gotta go after the things you want while you are still in your prime. There's a fine, fine line
absolutely beautiful. Stacia Newcomb singing Fine, Fine Line. She plays Lucy and Kate Monster in Avenue Q, which is on stage at the Charles R. Wood Theater, the Adirondack Theater Festival, through August 3rd in Glens Falls, New York. And then the season is done?
This is the final show of our main stage season. We do have a very special event after this with Carolyn McCormick and Byron Jennings reading the letters of O'Keefe and Stieglitz.
Oh, that's right.
Which we're doing in connection with the Hyde Collection. We've been doing some partnering with them in association with that amazing exhibit, which I know you were up seeing firsthand. So it'll be great. So this show is Avenue Q will close on the 3rd. We've actually just added another performance for Saturday afternoon because ticket sales were going brisk. So those people outside the Glens Falls area could make a great day trip to see the Hyde, see the show, have dinner in one of our great downtown restaurants, and more importantly, as I said, see an incredible group of performers and puppets doing this wonderful musical.
Well, look at you, Mr. Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, yeah. Very good. It's part of the job.
Got that down, man.
I do.
Wow.
Hey,
good for you.
I'm running for mayor next
week. Yeah, good on you. We have one more song, and to set this up, Jennifer, this is College, and it's a very meaningful part of the show.
It is, and it's a story I tell often, but I just love it so much. When we were doing the show on Broadway, in spite of the fact that there were all kinds of warnings that this show is for adults and adults only, people would still bring their kids of a matinee, and their kids would come by the stage door, and I would look at the parents and go, oh, I hope they're precocious, as they asked for their little autograph, and then I would usually ask the kid, so who was your favorite puppet, what was your favorite song, whatever, and I asked this one little girl one day, so what was your favorite song? And she said, I wish I could go back to college. I said, I'm sorry, how old are you? She said, I'm 10. I said, then why is I wish I could go back to college your favorite song? She said, because I wish I could go back to kindergarten. Man, you didn't have homework. You got to play all the time. And I loved that she, and I feel like in that sense, okay, we've really arrived at something universal in this song. It is a longing for a simpler, easier time when you sort of know what all the rules are, and then things change, and you have to change with it. And sometimes it'd be nice to go back to kindergarten or whatever that idyllic time is for the person. And I love that she put it into her own context. I just thought that was adorable.
Absolutely. So this is College from Avenue Q.
I wish I could go back to college. Life was so simple back then.
What would I give to go back and live in a dorm with a meal plan again?
I wish I could go back to college. In college, you know who you are. You sit in the quad and think, oh my God, I am totally gonna go far.
How do I go back to college? I don't know who I am anymore.
I wanna go back to my room and find a message in dry erase pen on the door. Oh, I wish I could just drop a class.
Or get into a play.
Or change my major.
Or f*** my TA.
I need an academic advisor to point the way. We could be sitting in the computer lab. 4 a.m. before the final paper is due. Cursing the world cause I didn't start sooner, and seeing the rest of the class there too.
I wish I could go back to college.
How do I go back to college?
I wish I had taken more pictures.
But if I were to go back to college, think what a loser I'd be. I'd walk through the quad and think, oh my God,
these kids are so much younger than me.
College from Avenue Q, Noah Zachary, Stacia Newcomb, and Rob Morrison, and of course, Gary Adler, who is the show's music director, was the show's original music director, and an ATF regular. So I assume it's good to be back home doing something you enjoy doing.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to be here. I was very excited when Mark asked me to come up and work on the show to begin with, because I realized that while we were here was actually the 10th anniversary of Avenue Q opening on Broadway, which was July 31st, 2003.
Man.
So it's a way for me.
And we all wilt. But yeah, so
it was a way for me to personally, I guess, celebrate the 10th anniversary by playing the show with a bunch of people who, some new actors, some old, and just to get reacquainted with this wonderful thing I was a part of 10 years ago.
Well, the show is simply outstanding and such a blast and so much fun. And this cast is so energetic and so talented. You guys are great. Congratulations. Thank you so much for sharing your talents with us this morning. Gary, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Jennifer, it was a delight seeing you on Broadway. And so, like the five times I saw the show on Broadway, it was a delight to see you in all of those performances. And you got the run around. You were like running around the stage. I mean, you had hardest job in that show, as far as I was concerned.
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, because you were multi characters running back and forth. Very, very cool. And Mark, of course, thank you very much for being such a great artistic force in the region. And we really appreciate you bringing the crew down here.
Yes, we're glad to be here.
Excellent. Avenue Q runs through August 3rd at the Charles R. Wood Theater in Glens Falls, New York. The Adirondack Theater Festival production of Avenue Q. You can find out more information by going to atfestival.org, atfestival.org. Tickets are available, but they are going fast. There has been a performance added. Again, atfestival.org. Thanks to you all. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.